What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Hit the Go Home, a wrestling podcast made by wrestling fans for wrestling fans. I am, of course, your host, Ero, here again with yet again another episode, episode 5 of this beautiful podcast. Okay, first things first, right out of the gate, apologies for the lack of uploads. If you are not on my regular socials, pretty much everything is at I am Ero. E-R-O-E. I announced February 1st that I was going to be taking a hiatus from uploading. Just to put it plainly and to speak bluntly, I once again got inside my own head when it comes to the world of creation, streaming, content creating, blah, 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 blah. And I had just had to take another break. This break's been a little different for me, however. I feel like I've had some clarity and whatnot on this break, which, speaking of which, I did just announce yesterday on the 24th of February that I will be making my return to streaming on March 1st. I do not have a time slot as of yet. However, March 1st, 2024, that is 3-1, will be coming back to Twitch. It'll probably be a PM CST stream, probably starting somewhere around like 6, and then I'll probably just go all night. But I would love to have you there for my big return to Twitch. And I've got a lot of things to announce in that time. We're not going to talk about that anymore here today, though, because this is yet again a wrestling podcast. So apologies for the lack of uploads for the past month. So right out of the gate, I also do want to say as well, we're going to be changing up the method of this podcast. Because in the previous episodes, obviously, I would go over the weekly programming of wrestling, everything from WWE, everything from AEW, and if there was any TNA or maybe some Ring of Honor, New Japan, blah blah blah. Listen, I'm not gonna lie to anybody. It's a full-time fucking job having to sit here and watch all of the amounts of wrestling that come out in a week, and then also have to take notes and then talk about them at the end of the week, just to have to continue to do it the following week. I'm not going to lie to anybody, I got burnt out really fast, and I'm not trying to burn myself out on one of the few things that I enjoy in this world, that being professional wrestling. So moving forward, I don't know what this podcast is going to look like. However, I'm not going to be going over the weekly product. If something big happens, we'll talk about that. Obviously, you're going to see in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Elimination Chamber. So, you know, we'll still talk about PLEs, pay-per-views. March 3rd is AEW's Revolution, so obviously that week, probably that Monday, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to change the upload schedule for the podcast as well. I don't know if we'll continue to do an every Sunday upload. But, you know, hey man, it's a learn and grow kind of deal, you know what I mean? I thought this was a really good idea moving, like, at the beginning of this, going over the weekly product. And it was, like, I was enjoying it for the most part, but, like, you know, a lot of people already go over the weekly product on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, so, I mean, you know, and, I mean, I guess with mine, you could just turn it on in your car, listen to it on the way to work or your way from home, but whatever. Regardless, we're gonna move forward here, and I want to thank everybody for the support of this podcast. We are back. This is my first official episode being back underneath the new moniker of whatever this podcast will be going forward. So, once again, I just want to thank everybody, and I want to apologize yet again for the lack of uploads for the past month. But without any further ado, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. Saturday, what was that? I mean, it was yesterday. February 24th at 4 a.m. CST is when this shit got started. Full disclosure, I did not stay up for this podcast or the event, because I'm not going to do that to myself. So I got up the following morning, which would have been yesterday morning, of course. I got up Saturday morning at about 7 a.m. CST. I hopped on a Discord chat with my good buddies Geek Slays and the Jedi Joker. And I literally hopped on Peacock as Rhea Ripley was coming out to the ring. So I couldn't have timed that better. But we're going to talk about the entirety of the show, because after the fact, I did go back by myself and watch the entire thing from start to finish. So as it stands, which you can go on to my TikTok at I am Ero, again, E-R-O-E, to see my predictions. I posted it on Friday, which would have been the 23rd. I'm pretty sure I posted that Friday, regardless. So as of my predictions, I am 4-0-1 with this show. The reason why I'm 4-0-1 is because I did not know going into the show that the Kabuki Warriors defended their titles on the pre-show. I had no idea in the slightest. They defended against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, which, again, I also had no idea Indy Hartwell was Australian. I'm blind as to that fact. So that's a cool moment for Indy Hartwell, but talking about the pre-show, talking about the tag team title match, it was a good match. I'm not going to go over any of these matches in severe detail. I'm just going to go over the winners, my prediction, and then kind of go forward of what I think is going to be going on next. So, it was a solid match. Kabuki Warriors retain, obviously. Not that I don't think that Indy and Candice aren't a good tag team. I guess just it wouldn't have made sense for them to win. And, I mean, Candice obviously ate the pin, so that way Indy's not losing a match in her home country. Cool moment for Indy. But moving forward, you know, the Kabuki Warriors obviously took the victory. So that was the pre-show. Obviously a lot of promo work, a lot of vignettes, a lot of blah, blah, blah. Who do you think's going to win? So the actual show begins, and we start the night off with the Women's Elimination Chamber. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head who was in this thing. Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, Tiffany Stratton, I'm forgetting two, Naomi, and I don't remember who the last one was. Yeah, I don't remember who the sixth woman was. Sorry. Real good podcast over here, ladies and gentlemen. It's fine. I could look it up, but I'm not going to. It's fine. The chamber itself was a decent match, and my prediction for this match was, of course, for Becky Lynch to go out on top and take the victory, which is, of course, what ended up happening. Raquel Rodriguez. That's who the sixth woman was. Raquel Rodriguez, yes, because she randomly showed up on SmackDown and won the Last Chance Battle Royal, which half the women in that didn't have a first chance, so why did they get a last chance? But sure, it's fine. It's fine. Raquel Rodriguez ended up coming into the match. That was number six. There you go. All in all, I thought the match was pretty fine. If I can be quite frank with everybody here, Tiffany Stratton, I really feel like, was the MVP of this match. She looked the best out of everybody, I felt like. She took a nasty exploder suplex from Becky Lynch to the side of the chamber, and it looked nasty. But also add to that the Swanton Bomb that she did off of one of the pods, I felt like was a really nice spot. All in all, I thought the chamber match was fine. Becky Lynch did end up picking up the W. Now, I know a lot of people were expecting Liv Morgan, or not expecting, but wanting Liv Morgan to win this match, and to which I just say, fucking why? Like, here's the thing. It didn't make sense, okay? Sure, you could go back and say that her revenge tour gimmick, because, you know, years of torment, and, you know, she was out on the shelf or whatever. Like, I get where you're coming from. I really do. Here's the thing. They've been setting up Becky and Rhea for months, okay? Like, they've been hinting at one another for months. We finally got the stare down at the Royal Rumble. Like, it just what else do you need? Like, Liv was not going to win this match. The fact that she got to the final two surprised the hell out of me. So that's it, man. Becky Lynch takes the W. She's going to go to Mania. And she very well could dethrone Rhea. I know a lot of people are mad that Liv didn't win, so now they're just assuming that Becky's not going to win at Mania, and that's just nonsensical attitude, to be quite frank. If they don't end up having Becky Lynch win at Mania, I'll be pretty surprised. I'm just going to say that moving forward. I think Rhea's had a hell of a title run, And I think we could potentially have a really good couple months of Becky Rhea. I think those two could have some really stellar matches. But, you know, people are just mad. It's fine. It was a fine match. Moving forward, we've got, I think it was the tag match was next. I don't remember if it was that or the Grayson Waller effect. It doesn't matter. The tag team match for the WWE Universal, no, the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships of the World. Such a stupid fucking title. Here's the thing. Judgment Day defending against New Catch Republic. Finn Balor, Damian Priest against Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. Obviously, this match was good. I don't think anybody needed to expect anything different there. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are two of the hardest working guys on the roster. They also are just fantastic wrestlers. Finn and Damian are all obviously also top of the food chain as well. I think they're both really good at what they do. Yet again, though, I really think that it would have been silly for anybody to assume that Finn and Damian were dropping the belts here. They're definitely cooking this feud to go up to Mania. I assume we're going to have probably like a multi-team tag team title match. I assume that's where we're going. The way I think is I think DIY needs to go to Mania and take the straps off of Finn and Damian. We've been leading for that feud for months, and it just hasn't gone anywhere. DIY just continued to lose. So, and I know a lot of people are going to tell me, well, the Awesome Truth are going to win. Why? Like, why do we need Miz and R-Truth to have a tag team title reign? Like, can we just take the tag belts and stick them on a tag team that is a relevant tag team and that has actually done tag team shit? Like, R-Truth and The Miz have only done tag team stuff per storyline. Like, DIY, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, you could even go Imperium, New Day. Like, they're all legitimate tag teams outside of storyline. So, it doesn't make sense to me. Also, I'm just going to get on this topic really quick. Can we fucking split the tag belts? Like, why do we continuously need a single tag team to go between both shows? Like, it's grown tiresome for me, personally. And maybe I'm the odd one here. But it's grown tiresome, and quite frankly, I just don't want to. I would much rather see a legitimate tag team have the tag team championships, and I would much rather see a set for SmackDown and a set for Raw. Also, it'd be a reason to get a new design. Although, let's be real, with the new designs that WWE's shipped out for us for the WWE title, the World Heavyweight title, the Women's Heavyweight title, and the Women's WWE title, it's gonna be a stinker ass fucking design. Because WWE doesn't know how to make a fucking decent title design anymore, which blows my mind. Which they really need to go at and look at TNA's titles. Look at AEW's titles. Look at New Japan's titles. Shit, look at your old championships and design belts that look better. Like, the giant W on the WWE title, that's fine, I guess. It just seems lazy. The WWE Undisputed Championship was one of the best-looking titles that they've ever had, period. And I mean, if you want to be real, like, look all the way back to the NWA championship, the one that Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes held. That belt was by far the most beautiful championship I think that's ever been in wrestling, period. And we've just gotten away from that with WWE's title designs. I think the new quote-unquote big gold, I refuse to call it that because it's not the big gold. It doesn't look like the big gold. It has the same shape. That's about it. It's an ugly fucking title. And the fact that they can't even make different looking titles for the women's and men's division just shows how lazy they are. Like, you put a white strap on the women's. Congratulations. That's fucking lazy. Make a new title. It's not difficult, dude. Shit. Have it be a fan contest. Have a fan come up with a title design. And then have that made. Have the fan get like a free replica of it right out of the gate. It's not difficult, bro, but you guys just make it difficult. Whatever. I don't know why I got on that tangent about the belts when we're talking about the chamber. Regardless, my prediction here was a Judgment Day to win. The Judgment Day won moving forward. Finn also looked like he broke his finger near the end of the match. I don't know what happened. I just saw him holding his hand, It looked kind of ugly. It looked like he had some cartilage coming out. I don't know. Hope you're okay, Finn. Grayson Waller effect. This was a thing. I don't like Grayson Waller. I've never hid that fact from anybody. But I will say I get why they had this on the show. You had to let, you know, the Aussie get his time in front of the Aussie crowd. I get it. It's fine. I feel like this could have been cut down half the time. This also could have just been on the fucking kickoff show. It still would have served the same fucking purpose. But the guests were, of course, Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, because we're just going to continue to talk about everything else instead of just having a tag match, which that'll probably be saved for Mania. I don't know. I kind of hope not, because it just feels like it's going to take away from both of their title matches. Because I assume what's going to happen is that it's going to be Cody and Seth against Rock and Roman, night one main event of WrestleMania. And then on night two, we're going to get both Seth and Drew, and then Cody and Roman for the straps. And I feel like that takes away from their respective titles. Because let's all be honest here, Roman and Cody are main eventing night two. There's no getting away from that. If you think they're not, you need to go get your fucking head examined. Because it's the biggest feud in wrestling. It's the biggest storyline in wrestling. Will Cody finish the story? Will the Tribal Chief lose his meteoric title reign? They're going to main event night two. That's just it, bro. So with that, obviously, Seth and Drew are probably either going to start the show or they're going to be midway through the show, which I don't personally understand, why. I don't get it. Have them main event night one, Roman and Cody main event night two. There you go. Everybody wins. Everybody's happy. That way Seth closes out of Mania, technically, because it's night one, and then you have your main event. So I think the tag match between Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth could have happened at the Elimination Chamber. Now, with that said, obviously Seth is still quote-unquote injured because he did something to his fucking knee. He says he's pretty close to being cleared. Maybe that fucked up the plans. I don't really know. But there's also talk that Seth was supposed to face Bronson Reed, which wouldn't have happened anyway, because congrats to Bronson Reed. He had him and his girlfriend, whatever, they had their baby. So it's a huge congrats to Bronson Reed. It sucks that he couldn't have been on the card to wrestle in front of his home country. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and God only knows when they're going to go back to Perth or anywhere in Australia to have a PLE that huge. But whatever. So the Grayson Waller effect was fine. Again, we could have had it in the fucking kickoff. Whatever. It would have served the same purpose. But, obviously, Grayson and Austin Theory was out there for some fucking reason, because they're buddies, whatever. But they do what they do best. They talk shit, and Austin Theory got his ass whipped because of it. To give that for what you will. But I will say, Seth looked fine at the end of that, so I don't know why we couldn't have just had a fucking tag match, and maybe Seth just kind of took it easy in the match. But, you know, whatever. I don't know. Here's my thing. These interview spots, these interview segments, they're fine and everything, but you're taking away from matches that could have happened on the card. There's no reason Gunther and fucking Jay couldn't have had their Intercontinental title match on this card. Granted, I guess maybe you don't want your entire roster flying halfway across the country to just have to come right back to LA, or San Anaheim, whatever, for Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. I don't know. It just seems lazy to me. A 4-hour show and you have 4 matches is just wild to me. Granted, the Elimination Chambers take an hour a piece. Sure, I get it, but it's lazy. I don't understand. You could have threw another match in there, moved the fucking Grayson Waller talk show gimmick to the kickoff show, and it would have still served the same fucking purpose. Because also at that point, Seth and Cody could have gotten on the plane. They could have gotten to LA much quicker that way. Or, you know, just have Grayson Waller come out and do some shenanigans. Why does he need his fucking stupid talk show? I don't know. It's lazy. You could have had another match. You could have had another 2 matches, maybe. It's crazy. you know, we've not figured out the system behind shortening the Elimination Chamber. Like, there's a fucking way to do it, bro. Like, I don't know what you need. But regardless, moving forward. Men's Elimination Chamber was next. Randy Orton, Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, yeah. Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. I'm going to be honest with everybody here. Neither of the chamber matches really stood out to me as like one was better than the other, because honestly, they seemed both pretty fucking mediocre because it's a gimmick match. Like, that's all the chamber is. And like, they try to come up with these new fascinating ways of how to make people, you know, more excited for the chamber match. I'm sorry. Everything that they've done in the chamber matches has already been done once before. Like, Rey Mysterio literally climbed up the fucking cage. Kofi Kingston dropped off the middle of it. RVD did a 5-star off of one of the pods halfway across the ring. I mean, Goldberg speared multiple people through the cell or through the pods. Like, it just, it what else can you do in these fucking matches other than maybe like getting out of this chamber, getting on top of the chamber and then wrestling up there, which just seems like a horrendous idea. Not that I'm suggesting that, but like, I haven't seen that happen yet. So, you know, maybe that needs to happen next year, whatever. Men's chamber was fine. My prediction here was Drew McIntyre, which yet again, I will say you can go on my TikTok and see at I Am Ero my predictions for this entire event. And I will say I called this one as well because I'm sorry. Drew McIntyre made the most sense going into this match. I understand that people are probably sick of seeing McIntyre and Rollins wrestle. I get it. They've been wrestling for fucking months. And, like, McIntyre just continues to get the shtick. But, like, I'm sorry. LA Knight wasn't going to take that. Bobby Lashley wasn't going to take that. Nobody else besides Drew McIntyre was going to take this match. Because it makes sense story-wise. I feel like people forget. I really feel like people forget at the end of the day that what we're watching is a... is a bunch of storylines put underneath the wrestling persona. Like, that's what we're watching. That's what professional wrestling is. So, for the fact that people thought that Randy Orton was going to win this match, the fact that people thought Bobby Lashley was going to win this match, just it is just astonishing to me. First of all, Bobby is in his own thing against the fucking, what is it? Karrion Kross's new stable, the Testament or whatever, the Final Testament, there it is. Logan Paul, like, he's the United States champion. Are we just not going to have a United States champion defend his title at Mania? Like, what? Randy Orton. Granted, Orton's not really doing a whole lot. Maybe he could... There's probably an argument that could be had there to have him win. Sure. An argument could be made about anybody. And I'm not saying anybody was better than the other. I'm just saying it makes more sense storyline-wise for Drew McIntyre to have picked up the win, which is what happened. Obviously, some shenanigans happened throughout the match. AJ Styles randomly showed up and took out LA Knight. Yeah. That's a fucking choice. Why you have a guy travel across the fucking country to just come out and cost somebody a match is definitely a move. I hope they paid him nicely, maybe a little extra check for that. But Logan brought out the brass knucks. It looked like he was going to knock out somebody. He was taking way too long to set it up. Orton hits him out of nowhere with an RKO because, you know, that's his gimmick. Sure. And then Logan retaliates, hits him with the brass knucks after he's already eliminated, which gave Drew McIntyre the opening he needed to take the win in the match. So with that moving forward, obviously I think it definitely seems like we're getting a Logan-Randy feud and an AJ-LA feud. Now, if both of these feuds go to Mania, it's hard telling. I think Randy and Logan could probably go all the way to Mania, and Logan could defend the title. I think in that point, I think there's no real reason why Randy needs to win the United States Championship. I think Logan needs to retain there, but obviously Mania is still a month away. Just like a couple days over a month away. So, I don't know. the whole LA AJ thing, sure. They're going to have a really good couple matches probably, but like, I don't know. I guess we need something to do for these guys. But also, like, I'm sorry. What are we doing with Guns and Gallows? Or Anderson and Gallows. There it is. What are we doing with these guys? Like, they're just sitting, like, you couldn't have just turned them heel with AJ? Like, and we brought back, like, a great value Bullet Club? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to start it on that. Drew McIntyre picks up the win. To the surprise of nobody. And to the people that think that Drew McIntyre was a bad choice, why was Drew McIntyre a bad choice? Because you don't want to see him beat Rollins at Mania, which is probably what's going to happen. Sorry about you, brother. Moving forward, main event, so going into this, I didn't know, because WWE has pulled some shady shit before, I didn't know if Rhea was going to main event this card. Obviously, she should have, which she did. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Macho Man Randy Savage, for helping with that. but here's the thing. WWE has pulled some shady shit before, and I didn't know. So that is what it is. But main event, Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, for the World's Women's Champion Heavyweight Championship. They don't say heavyweight for some fucking reason. I don't fucking know why. It's dumb. It's the same fucking belt. Man, where do I begin? So Rhea obviously got pop of the night because, of course, she's in her home country, which it is an awesome moment for Rhea Ripley. I'm super happy for her. I'm thinking that she deserved it. Absolutely. I will say the match itself was mediocre because, shocker, Nia Jax can't fucking work. I really hope after this that we're just done with Nia Jax and maybe she can just fuck off, because you've got all of these women, like, you literally had six of the best women in the division in your Elimination Chamber match earlier in the night, and your main event was fucking Nia Jax? Why? Like, the bitch literally, like, all she does is sit on people. That's not a fucking, like, weight joke or, you know, she can't wrestle joke. No, watch her moveset. Her two most used moves are a leg drop and Yokozuna's bonsai drop. That's not flack against Nia Jax. You want flack against Nia Jax? I think she's a terrible fucking worker. I don't think she could wrestle herself out of a wet paper bag. I think she's fucking dog shit. Like, there you go. That's flack against Nia Jax. It's not the fact that she's a woman. It's the fact that she's a shit fucking wrestler. And yet you have six of the best in your division, especially with Tiffany Stratton. Like, the women that are on NXT, most of them anyway, are really good workers. And you've got a lot of really good workers on both of your shows. But yet we're still just giving it to, I don't even know what her stupid nickname is. The fucking Devastator or whatever. I don't care. It's dumb. It's just dumb. The match was sloppy. Nia can't work, so Rhea has to work double time and pray that she doesn't get fucking injured. You know, like, she gets fucking slammed on the announcer table. She gets slammed right on the monitors. Like, what are we doing? And then she gets driven through the table off of, like, I don't remember if it was an elbow drop or whatever. I doubt those tables could stand underneath Nia Jax to begin with. That's more flack for Nia Jax. Don't come at me, because I'm, or do come at me at, or hit the go home on Twitter. Come at me. Give me your fucking opinions, because I'm going to shoot you down anyway. For anyone that tries to defend Nia Jax, it's just dumb. Regardless, Rhea obviously picks up the win here. And if anybody actually thought for a second that Rhea Ripley was not taking the W in this match, once again, you need to go get your head examined multiple times at this point, because they're not going to have Nia drop Rhea on her fucking head and then take the strap, in Australia. That level of heat would have been so bad. Honestly, I don't even know if she'll lose the strap at Mania just because of how fucking over she is. Like, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Becky ends up beating her, but I don't know. But moving forward, Rhea Ripley picks up the W. It was a mediocre match at best. Rhea got a really cool moment at the end of the match where she was with her family. It was really cool to see, man. I'm really happy for Rhea Ripley. I wish she could have got a better opponent. Whatever. Maybe putting her against, you know, I don't know, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, you know, any of your other Monday Night Raw women that aren't doing shit, you know? I mean, I guess Natalya could have got another fucking shot for some reason. I don't know. I think it's time to maybe shake up the women's division a little bit, you know what I mean? Maybe you need to bring in some of these fucking NXT women and actually have them fucking show these other quote-unquote vets that have been doing this for fucking 20 years. Maybe, you know, don't fucking suck. It's crazy to me, bro. Especially when we have matches like, what is it? Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. That match was so fucking good. Like, and then, I mean, to watch Tiffany Stratton come from NXT to the main roster to where she is just, she's outshining the other five women in that chamber match. Like, and yeah, maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. But Tiffany is just fun to watch. So, I don't know. But regardless, moving forward, which my prediction was Rhea, obviously. I don't know if I said that or not. So I went out of this card 4-0-1, only because I didn't know the Kabuki Warriors were defending their titles, which, okay. I guess I should have expected that, but like, what, yet again, why couldn't we have had that on the main card? Whatever. I guess you need the little jerk-off spot to fucking, you know, give everybody a minute to hang out and chill. So that way we have, you know, before the men's chamber, after the tag match, which was nuts. Whatever. All in all, I thought the entire card, the entire event was fine at best. It's the chamber, man. Like, it's between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, which are... not arguably, which are your two biggest events of the year. Like, those are the two ones that everybody wants to watch, is the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania. Like, those are your two biggest shows. So obviously the show that's in the middle is not going to be as good because you don't want to fucking have the chance of hurting any of your big name players or anybody that you potentially are going to be moving forward. So, you know, it was a fine pay-per-view at best. However, moving forward, obviously the WrestleMania match card has now been set. Four matches have been set anyway. You've got Rhea versus Becky. You've got Io versus Bayley. You've got Drew versus Seth. And you've got, of course, Cody and Roman. So all four of our major singles titles for both men and women are... well, there's only two singles titles for women, but whatever. You know what I mean. They've all been set. We now know what those are going to look like. WrestleMania is already shaping up to be pretty good, as long as things are done, you know, properly. I was going to go over maybe my thoughts on Mania, but with it only being a month away, I don't know if there's much of a point because a lot can happen in a month, especially with what, 8 shows between Raw and SmackDown before we get to Mania. So there's my Elimination Chamber. This was kind of a shorter episode, but with 4 matches, you know, I don't have a whole lot else to go over. Because also, I don't pay for no ads on Peacock, because why? So I didn't get to see any of the extra vignettes, which would have just been the same vignettes we've been seeing for weeks. But whatever. Yeah, man. So there's my fucking Elimination Chamber review. Once again, I thought the entire card was pretty all right. It was wrestling, although it was the Elimination Chamber. I don't know what I expect. The chamber has never blown me away. So I don't know. I mean, it used to back in the day, but you know, back in the day, the chamber had never been around. You know, to watch Goldberg spear, I don't even remember who he speared through the fucking pod. That was a cool-ass moment to see, because, like, nobody had ever done that before. But now Bobby Lashley's doing it. And, like, yeah, it's still a cool spot, but, like, okay. Like, I don't mean to sound jaded, but, like, we've seen it happen. I don't know. Anyway. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Hit the Go Home, a wrestling podcast made by wrestling fans for wrestling fans. I do appreciate everyone for stopping by, supporting the podcast. My name is, of course, Eero. You can find me at on what? You can find me on all social medias at I am Eero, E-R-O-E. No spaces in between anything. You can also follow this podcast on Twitter at HitTheGoHome, all one word. And yeah, let me know if there's anything that you'd like me to talk about in the future. I am currently coming up with newer ideas for the podcast. New episodes will not be every Sunday moving forward, unfortunately. I do hope that that doesn't break anybody's hearts. But, I mean, also, I don't think any of you guys really wanted to listen to me talk about wrestling for an hour every Sunday. Or maybe you did, and I'm just crazy. But, you know, me and Entity also went 2 hours last time. But it's fine. Yeah, man. I ain't got anything else for you. So, I appreciate everyone being here. Thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you in the next episode. Make sure you keep your eyes on my socials for any updates on when the next episode will be out. And also, March 1st, twitch.tv/E_ROE. Make sure you come out and watch my comeback stream. Yes, I know my name's different on Twitch than it is everything else. That's my goof. I'm gonna talk about that too when I go live. Thank you all so much. We'll catch you in the next episode. Yeah.